Silence or us?
Please be seated.
Mr. Hodge.
Ms. Allen, can you see and hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Can we bring back up the document we were looking at just before we adjourned? And can we go to page dot 0007 again? And I just need to check off on some things with you, Ms. Allen. Do you agree with me that there was no ongoing monitoring that, to your knowledge, had been done in the lab between February 2018 and December 2021 of what percentage of samples within the DIFP range were producing a profile after concentration?
I've thought about this during the break, and I can't remember what I was referring to. It's made me quite anxious and stressed, which isn't going to help me remember. So I can't answer why I put that into the email.
I understand, and I'm not going to ask you again why you put that into the email, but I just need to check with you whether you agree with me that, to your knowledge, there was no ongoing monitoring that was being done within the lab between February of 2018 and December of 2021 of what percentage of samples within the DIFP range were producing a result after concentration.
I'm not sure that I remember that being done.
Okay. And do you also agree with me that, to your knowledge, there was no data set larger than the one that was used for the options paper that was being maintained by or looked at or examined by the lab in relation to samples within the DIFP range that had gone through concentration?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Thank you. Now then, if we then go to page .0006, you see Inspector Neville responds and says, for our reference — this is in the middle of the paragraph — for our reference and moving into the future, what is the actual percentage that your data set has indicated? Obviously, this information will be helpful in guiding future requests for retesting.
Yes.
And you see that's sent on the 3rd of December 2021?
Yes.
And you know, don't you, that you didn't respond directly to that email?
I just returned from leave at that point.
I understand. You know, don't you, that you didn't respond directly to that email?
Okay, if I haven't responded, I haven't responded. I don't have any recollection of that.
Do you agree with me that if you had a large data set that showed that the small percentage from the options paper didn't vary, then that's information that it would have been obvious for you to provide in response to Inspector Neville's email?
The only thing that I can think of regarding that is that I was thinking about project, I think it's 163, that had already been done regarding AutoMicrocon, and then comparing that to project 184, and that the numbers looked at in project 163 were less than the numbers looked at in 184. So that's the only thing I can think of around that discussion point.
Now, Project 163 was a project that had been undertaken in 2015.
Yes, that's right.
So it was certainly not a project that came after Project 184?
No, it was not.
Or came after the options paper?
No, it wasn't.
And you agree with me, I'm sure it's not something that could meet the description. We've monitored this and have found that with a larger data set, the small percentage didn't vary.
That's the only explanation I can give is around the data sets. Apart from the monitoring, as I said, I've reflected on that and I'm feeling anxious and stressed about that and I can't remember.
I understand. Let's go to page 0005. Can we just zoom that out? Thanks. So you see, what's happened is Inspector Neville wrote to you on the 3rd of December to ask you what percentage you showed. And then he writes to you again on the 13th of December.
Yes.
And says, since sending you my last message, I found some correspondence from February 2018 where QHFSS made a recommendation to QPS that testing of samples that contained less than 0.008 nanograms per microliter of DNA should discontinue because the chance of obtaining a profile was less than 2%.
That's what his email says, yes.
And again, you would have known immediately on receiving this email that he had misunderstood what the 2% figure from the options paper was referring to.
I believe that in my next email, that's where I clarified that with him.
We'll come to that in a moment. You see that Inspector Neville, about two paragraphs down, he refers to 14 November. And he's referring to 14 November of 2018. And he says, at that time, QHFSS provided reassurance that the success rate would be lower than 2% and that the matter should be treated as an aberration.
Yes, I see that in his email.
And in your view, had you provided reassurance to him in November of 2018 of the kind he's describing?
That's not my understanding. I believe that I talked about the processes and the options paper and that's how we had got to the data.
And then you see about two paragraphs down from that, he says, I think the 30% success rate of retesting warrants a little further examination to make sure we are maximising the chances of solving crime, particularly for major crime matters.
Yes.
And that connects to what he said in the preceding paragraph, where he says, given the result of the recent cases where continued testing was successful, might it be timely to review the practice of truncating testing of lower quant items?
Yes.
And so on getting this email, you would have understood that he was asking, should we be reviewing this practice of not processing further samples within the DIFP range?
Yes.
And then if we go to the next page, which is .0004. This is the email that you send in response on the 16th of December. You say, thank you for your email and feedback regarding this. We will review scientific data available to us and will provide further advice to the QPS in due course.
Yes.
And perhaps if we just pause there. So you've sent an email to Inspector Neville on the 16th of December 2021 saying we will review scientific data available to us. Did you take steps on or about that day to have a review undertaken?
Can we please just go back down to Inspector Neville's email, please? Okay, thank you. I believe that the review of the scientific data was in relation to the operation that he had put forward, so that we could have a look at that.
Now, Ms. Allen, well, actually, all right. So you say you asked for a review to be undertaken in relation to the particular case that was the subject of the operation?
Yes, I believe that's what I did.
Who did you ask to do that?
I would have asked Justin or the scientist that was it, that had that particular operation.
And is the reason that you say you did that, do you say that you thought Inspector Neville was asking for a review of the data in relation to that particular case?
Yes.
And what was it that you thought he wanted you to review in relation to that particular case?
The particular success rate that they'd had in that case.
Had he asked you to review the success rate in that case?
He had asked previously about success rates in other particular cases.
No, listen to my question. Had he asked you to review the data in relation to the success rate for that particular case?
That's one of the things I took on board from his email, was about the success rates for that particular operation.
Had he asked you to review the data in relation to the success rate for that particular case?
Not explicitly, no.
He had, though, asked you to provide data as to what actual percentage your data set was indicating?
Yes, that's right.
And he had asked you to whether or not it would be appropriate to review the practice of truncating testing of lower quant items?
Yes, that's right.
And you understood those things weren't about that particular case, they were about the practice of the lab.
Yes, and that the QPS could have requested that process to stop immediately.
What's that got to do with what you're asked?
The QPS had approved the process, so if they had said it's no longer to be done, then we would have stopped that process.
You're being asked about what data he was asking you to review and what data you promised you would review. What's that got to do with the right of QPS to ask you to change your processes?
I guess from my perspective, it was a QPS decision that could be made at that time, regardless of whether we provided data or not.
Mr. Hodge.
Now, you see your email, you say we will review scientific data available to us and we'll provide further advice to the QPS in due course.
Yes.
And the advice that he was asking about was whether or not the threshold should be reviewed?
Yes, that's right.
And so tell me if you agree with this. It must be that whatever data you are going to or saying you are going to review would be relevant to whether or not the threshold should be revised.
So it would be looking at, what I understood from that, would be looking at the Microcon samples and doing a similar process to what we've done in the options paper and be able to look at the success rate within that particular range and whether the threshold needed to be less.
Yes. So that is a review of the data across all samples, not just the case that is the subject of Operation Tango Amulet.
Of Microcon samples, yes.
And so on or about the 16th of December 2021, did you ask someone in the lab to begin reviewing that data?
No, at this point, it was after we'd had adverse media and there were other things going on. We were also managing COVID, so we didn't have a lot of staff. So at that point, no, I didn't.
You didn't ask anyone to do it?
No.
And I want to suggest to you the problem that you found yourself in mid-December of 2021 was that you'd lied to Inspector Neville and told him that you'd been monitoring this and reviewed a larger data set, and he'd then asked you, what does it show?
No, I didn't lie to Inspector Neville.
And then when he followed you up with a further email, you told him we will review scientific data available to us and will provide further advice to the QPS in due course. And that was also a lie because you weren't intending to take any steps to undertake that task.
No, that's not true.
And you didn't take any steps at that time to undertake the task.
Due to the other issues that I was managing, I didn't take any steps at that time, no.
Just so I understand, do you say that on the 16th of December 2021, a COVID issue had arisen in the lab so you couldn't ask anyone to undertake the task?
We would need to request the data from BDNA, and then we would need a staff member to be able to review that data. And yes, we were having difficulties with staff numbers because it's also school holidays and COVID issues as well.
Ms. Allen, I have to put this to you. This evidence that you're giving to try to explain why you didn't do anything, it's a lie, isn't it?
No, it's not a lie.
You're making up reasons to cover up the fact that you didn't do anything because you were trapped.
No, that's not true.
You were trapped by the lies that you'd been telling for several years.
That's not true.
And you were trapped by the lie that you told Inspector Neville only 15 days earlier when you said, we've been monitoring this and a larger data set hasn't shown continued to show a small number.
That's not true.
And then if we go up the page to the top of page 0004, you see Inspector Neville writes back and says, thanks, this is a high priority for us. We would appreciate advice as soon as possible, please.
Yes.
So you understood this was something of great importance to the QPS?
It was a high priority, yes.
And, of course, it was obvious to you why it would be of high importance, because this was affecting the testing of samples from the most serious crimes.
Yes, but QPS and scientists could request reworks for those samples. There was a mechanism in place to be able to request those samples to be tested.
And again, even after Inspector Neville told you that this was a high priority, you took no steps at that time to do anything about it.
Because as I said before, it was school holidays, we were dealing with negative media, and there was COVID issues, and that meant that there were less staff available. Plus, we were also trying to continue with getting work, DNA results across to the QPS.
You didn't. You write to Inspector Neville and say you wouldn't be able to do it promptly for those reasons?
I think I did that in January.
We'll come to what happened later. You didn't write back to him in December and tell him that you were having difficulties?
No, at that point I didn't know.
You didn't write to anyone in the lab and ask them to undertake any tasks when they had the opportunity to assist you with this?
Not to my recollection, no.
You didn't email Mr. Howes and say, what would we need to be able to perform this data analysis?
I don't think I did, but I may have, but I don't have a recollection of that.
You didn't email BDNA at that time and ask for a quote to do a data extraction?
No, I don't think I did at that time, no.
And then Inspector Neville emailed you again, and this is, it starts at the bottom of page .0002. And then you see he emails you then the next day after your emails, so on the 17th of December. And he explains, he gives a particular example and explains or asks a question, which is whether the lab use the image that's available when they're making an assessment to stop testing.
Yes, I see that.
And you tell me if you agree with me, but the lab staff don't use the image on the forensic register when they validate a sample as either no DNA or DNA insufficient for further processing.
Yes, that's right.
And they could do that. They have access to the photographs.
Yes, so that's a process improvement that we could put in place, is for them to look at the images, but also to look at the presumptive screening tests that QPS may have already performed and to use that to make a more informed decision.
And you see, tell me if you agree with this, in his email, he's asking just one question. I wondered if lab staff use this information when making a decision on stopping testing. You agree
yes.
with that? And you knew what the answer was.
Yes.
You knew when you got his email that the answer is no, they don't use that information.
Yes.
And you could have responded to him and said, no, we don't do that.
Have I not responded to him at all on that email chain?
You have. I'll show you how you responded. Can we go to the top of page .0002? You say, thank you for the follow-up email regarding samples within this case. To ensure they're all on the same page, I'd like to clarify the process. And then you can take your time, read what you wrote there.
Yes.
Do you agree with me? You didn't answer his one question.
No, I didn't. I clarified the process with him to let him know about why the DNA results they had obtained from that.
You knew what the answer to his question was.
I overlooked his question. I responded about the case that he was asking about and wanted to let him know that there had been concentration on those samples to provide the DNA profile.
The truth is this, isn't it, Ms. Allen? You were deliberately avoiding answering his question because you didn't want to have to admit to him that the scientists within your lab would just validate samples without even looking at the photographs of them.
No, that's not true.
And if it was so obvious that a process improvement could have been made to require the scientists to look at the photographs before they validated them as validated a sample as no DNA or DNA insufficient for further processing, that was something you could have put in place years ago.
I've only thought of this process improvement since the Commission of Inquiry.
But that's inexplicable, isn't it? I mean, Inspector Neville is asking you a question, which
could we
is,
see his email again with
yes.
the photograph?
Can we go back down to the top of page .0003? He's asking you, I wondered if lab staff use this information when making a decision on stopping testing.
Yes, that's what he's asked, yes.
And even that direct question didn't prompt you to make a change to the process.
I don't undertake that process at all. That my expectation is that if staff put forward suggestions regarding, you know, process improvement, that they would do that because they're doing those processes every day.
Now, are you, just so I understand, are you trying to suggest it's the fault of your staff for not having suggested that process improvement?
No, I'm just saying that quality improvement is everybody's responsibility, and those that are closer to the process would have more of an insight than I would into how we could improve that process.
Well, what was being shown to you was a photograph of blood, a result that came back DIFP, and Inspector Neville was putting to you that if somebody had looked at the photograph and looked at the result, that person would have immediately recognised an inconsistency or at least an anomaly and would then have considered retesting the sample. And he asked you whether people ever looked at the photos. So I need to ask you two things. One is, why didn't you answer his question honestly that no, nobody ever looked at the photos? And secondly, having regard to what you've just said about it being everybody's responsibility to improve process where they can see a gap, why did you not fulfill your responsibility and improve the process to require the validator of the DIFP results to look at photographs before validating them? This example having been shown to you as an example of what can go wrong. So first, why didn't you answer his question?
It was no intent for me not to answer his question. I guess I was focused on the results that he was talking about, the picture, et cetera, from that. I was not trying to avoid his question.
Well, one explanation for not answering his question might be that it would have been embarrassing for you to admit that the lab didn't bother looking at the photos that police took the trouble to take and to deliver. Can you think of another explanation?
That, like I said, I was more focused on the results from that and, you know, ensuring that he understood that that we had concentrated that sample to get that DNA profile. It wasn't that it had just gone straight through from quantitation to amplification. We'd done additional work for that sample to get the DNA profile. That was my focus within that. And you're right, Commissioner, I should have taken that further, and at the time I didn't because of all of the other things that I had going on and the responsibilities that were happening within the lab.
Now, from your perspective, did it seem like one of the problems with making this process change would be that it would slow down turnaround times?
Not necessarily, because the more I've thought about this since the Commission of Inquiry is that we could have placed a flag onto any samples that were labelled as blood or semen, those types of things, so that flag, then if they were within the DIFP range, could go to a worklist that a scientist could then review and look at presumptive screening tests and also images and then decide next steps from there. But I didn't think about that until the Commission of Inquiry.
What do you think it says about the adequacy of your management of the lab that you didn't think about this apparently until the Commission of Inquiry was called?
I think it shows that I have a large number of tasks to do.
need a break, Ms. Allen?
Yes, please.
We adjourn in 5 minutes.
We'll adjourn until 25 past.
No worries. Silence. All rise. Please be seated.
Mr. Hodge.
Thank you. Ms. Allen, can you see and hear me?
Yes, I can.
Now, continuing on with this chain we were looking at, so if we go to page.0002, this was your email that we just looked at where you'd said to ensure that we're all on the same page and then describe the process. And then if we then go up to page.0001, you'll see Inspector Neville responds the same day. In fact, he responds about 17 minutes later. Well, not about, he responds 17 minutes later and he says to you, thanks for the clarification. That was my understanding too. I was of the belief that QHFSS stopped doing this as a matter of routine for low quant samples because there was a lower than 2% chance of success. However, QPS has found the success rate to be 30% when we requested this to be done. It is the difference between these success rates that I'm interested in.
Yes, I see that.
Now, again, you would have known immediately on reading his email that the 2% chance of success, or the less than 2% chance of success that he was referring to, was about NSID upload, not about the chance of obtaining a usable profile.
Yes.
And you knew that the 30% that he was referring to was about obtaining the chance of obtaining a usable profile?
After microconcentration, yes.
And he was saying to you, it's the difference between these success rates that I'm interested in?
Yes.
And why didn't you respond to explain to him, well, actually, the options paper never showed less than a 2% chance of obtaining a usable profile. It only showed a less than 2% chance of NSID upload success.
That's right.
Why didn't you respond to say that?
I thought I did respond to clarify that with him after this.
When?
I don't remember the date, but I have a recollection of responding to him regarding the percentages.
Do you mean the following year, this year?
Earlier this year. I'm sorry, I don't remember the date, but I do remember responding to him about the 1.45% to clarify that with him.
I understand. What I'm suggesting to you is that was the following year.
Okay.
I'm just interested in understanding, why not say to him in December, actually, we always thought there was a 10% chance of obtaining a profile from these samples that we'd stopped. So you need to judge the 10% against the 30%.
At this particular point in time, we had had negative media for forensic DNA analysis, and I also look after manage forensic chemistry as well. So my attention was diverted elsewhere. And so this, you know, I didn't necessarily put managerial judgment to this when I could have probably done this in a more timely manner.
It's so strange, isn't it, though, if you're under criticism from the media about the quality of the testing that you're undertaking, that when the police are raising with you an issue about the quality of the testing that you're undertaking, that you just wouldn't engage with them about it?
It's not that I didn't want to engage with them, because I did, but I had other things that I was undertaking at that time regarding the negative media and the other HR issues that I may have been dealing with, COVID, all of those other things that I was dealing with at that time.
Now then, the next year, there was a meeting on the 1st of February 2022. That was the joint meeting between the QPS and Forensic and Scientific Services.
Okay.
And this is the meeting where you said to, just to help you orient yourself, this is the meeting where you referred to cherry picking when you spoke to Inspector Neville.
I believe those were the words that Inspector Neville had used during the meeting.
We'll come back to that, but in any event, you know the meeting that I'm talking about.
Yes, I have a recollection of that meeting, yes.
And what happened was that there was an agenda for that meeting, and that I think you prepared and Ms. Keller sent on to the police, and then the police responded and said they wanted to add this DIFP issue to the agenda.
My recollection is that Lara asked me if I had any agenda items, and then she sent them on. And yes, QPS added agenda items.
Yes, and they added the DIFP issue.
Yes.
And perhaps you can tell us why, given that in the middle of December the previous year, QPS had told you that this was a priority issue for them to address what was going on with DIFP processing, why did you not put it on the agenda?
I don't know. Possibly because I assumed that we would be talking about it anyway.
Is it possible that the explanation is this? By the time you got to the beginning of this year, to put it in a colloquial way, the walls were closing in on you?
No, that's not true.
And you had media attention on the quality of the work being undertaken by the lab that you'd been the managing scientist for since 2008?
For a particular case, yes, we had negative media. Yes, that's right.
And you had Inspector Neville doggedly raising issues about what was going on with the DIFP process?
Yes, he did raise those with me.
And throughout the end of 2021, you had been avoiding directly engaging with those issues with Inspector Neville?
That's not true.
You weren't meaningfully responding to the questions he was raising? We've looked at the emails already.
I didn't respond to the question that he asked about that, but I wasn't trying to avoid him. As I said, I had other things that I was attending to, and I didn't have that as the highest priority, and I misjudged. Perhaps I misjudged that, and in the situation that I was in, that's what I was just trying to do the best I could with what I was dealing with at the time.
And you hadn't taken any steps within your own lab to undertake the data analysis that you promised to Inspector Neville?
I think I said that before, that no, I had not.
And you had another issue in relation to this DIFP issue, which was that scientists within the lab had for some years been raising a concern about it.
They hadn't directly come to me about that. I understand that they had gone to Justin.
And he'd come to you.
It had been discussed
And by November of 2021, you knew that Ms. Ricker had started compiling a spreadsheet in which she recorded instances where DIFP results had gone through retesting and produced a result?
I wasn't at that meeting where that was discussed.
And in that answer, you reveal a level of knowledge that we'll need to tease out. There was a management team meeting that occurred in November of 2021 where Ms. Ricker's spreadsheet was discussed.
Yes.
And you're saying you weren't at that particular meeting?
I was on leave at that particular time.
But presumably when you returned from leave, you would have looked at what your management team had been doing for the period when you were on leave?
When I came back, that's when the negative media had first started. So I was involved in other things to do with that. I didn't have a chance to review the management team meeting minutes that I had missed.
So when do you say you first became aware of Ms. Ricker's spreadsheet?
This year sometime.
But when this year?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I honestly don't know when I became aware of it.
And so then you went to this meeting on the 1st of February, and this issue that Inspector Neville had been raising was discussed?
Yes.
And was it the case that once again you sought to fob him off?
No, that's not true.
Did you suggest to him that the data that QPS was using was cherry-picked?
No, I believe those were Inspector Neville's words that he had used during that, and he then sent a follow-up email to clarify what he meant by that.
And did you, at that meeting, say that you were going to undertake a data analysis?
I believe I advised him of the issues that we had been experiencing in January and that we would get data for that, yes.
And when you said that, was that your genuine intention?
Yes, it was.
And so when did you take your first step after that meeting to get data for an analysis?
I don't recall when I asked for the data. I don't remember the date, sorry.
What was the date of the meeting, Mr. Hodge?
The 1st of February 2022.
Thanks.
You don't remember?
No, I'm sorry. I don't remember the date of when I asked for that.
Now, do you recall that on about the 17th of February, the Australian newspaper published another story about the operation of the lab?
Not specifically, but okay.
And do you remember whether there was a link between the Australian publishing an article and you requesting a quote from BDNA?
I don't necessarily recall that, no. I don't.
Did you immediately after the meeting on the 1st of February take any steps to have the data analysis undertaken?
I discussed it with Ms. Keller, and I thought I had discussed it with Mr. Howes, but I could be wrong about that because I don't specifically remember.
Look, we bring up FSS.0001.0057.7533. Yes, FSS.0001.0057.7533. And then can we go to page 5 of that document? Just zoom out and scroll down. There we go. You see, Ms. Allen, you email Mr. O'Malley on the 18th of February 2022?
Yes.
And this is the request for a quote from BDNA?
Yes.
And if we just scroll down a bit further, you see Mr. Howes emails you on the 16th of February with parameters?
Yes.
And can you tell us why, given that the request for data analysis had been made by Inspector Neville in December and you'd been told it was a priority, and you told him on the 1st of February that you'd been delayed by COVID, why did it still take another couple of weeks before you took any action to get data?
As I said before, the tasks that I was undertaking, the negative media, the stress and anxiety that went along with that has obviously affected my judgment and my memory. And when I was able to do this, I did.
I see. Can we bring up QPS.0001.1326.0001?
Yes, 0001.1326.
0001.1326.0001. And then if we go to page dot 0013. You see, this is an email that Inspector Neville sent you on the 21st of February.
Yes.
And you see again, he's asking you, or he's following up his queries from December, and you see he says in the paragraph, that's the second last one from the bottom of the page, I know you are busy, but since 1 December I've raised concerns in relation to the truncating of testing based on DNA quant values because of the significant number of below threshold samples yielding a profile when testing is continued.
Yes.
And he tells you this is still a high priority matter for QPS.
Yes.
And he again identifies that what he wants to try to understand is the difference between what he describes as the predicted, which is less than 2%, and observed success rates, which is 30%.
Yes.
And so do you agree with me that still at this point, he has misunderstood the options paper as suggesting that the actual success rate in obtaining a profile is expected to be less than 2%?
Yes.
What's the date of this?
This is the 21st of February 2022.
Thank you.
And I want to suggest this to you, Ms. Allen. At no point in December or January or February of 2022 were you under the impression that the QPS were concerned about missing out on NSID uplink results for priority two cases. Do you agree with that?
So you're saying I wasn't concerned about QPS missing links?
No, I'm saying you at no stage in December of 2021 or January or February of 2022, were you under the impression that the QPS were concerned about what NSID upload links they might be missing out on?
I was aware that the QPS were concerned about DNA results, yes.
The only results that they were concerned about in raising with you was the chance of obtaining a profile rather than the chance of successfully making an NSID upload link. Do you agree?
They were concerned about DNA profiles, yes, but they also track the turnaround time from receipt to link report. So they would have been monitoring that as well. So whilst we didn't talk about it, I knew that they were monitoring that.
All right. Now, this is the email that Inspector Neville sends. And then if we go up the page to page.0012, you see that Ms. Keller responds and says, you're off, you're not at work that day on the 21st.
Yes.
And then if we then scroll up a bit further, beginning at the bottom of page.0011 and continuing over the page, we see an email from you on the 22nd of February responding to Inspector Neville's questions.
Yes.
And you see here you say, during the bi-monthly meeting on the 1st of February, I provided a verbal update to you and Superintendent Freiberg regarding this.
Yes.
And you say, minutes from this meeting are yet to be circulated. It was recorded. I have detailed notes that I took during the meeting and I've referred to those for this email.
Yes.
Was that true?
Yes.
So you had detailed notes of the meeting on the 1st of February that you referred to for the purpose of this email that then follows?
Yes.
You see in your email, you say that you advised that due to the community transmission of COVID-19 and two urgent cases, there'd been slow progress made on this request?
Yes.
Now, in fact, of course, there'd been no progress made on the request as of the 1st of February, had there?
There'd been consideration, but we hadn't made any attempts to get the data.
Who'd considered it?
Lara and myself, we had discussed this. I discussed with her during our meetings about the workload that we were currently under.
And then you see in your email, you say, during the meeting, you advised that you were aware that the QPS had cherry-picked particular samples to be tested further and that this may be the reason behind the results that were achieved.
Yes.
And then you go on to say the data that is required to be analysed is within the forensic register and FSS have submitted a request to BDNA for a quote to extract the data required?
Yes.
And that was a quote that you'd only requested 3 days earlier?
That's right.
Now, could we put that email on one side of the screen? And on the other side of the screen, can we bring up FSS.0001?
Oh, the other one. Yeah. This one. This might be the one.
Yeah. Do I have a dog either?
No, I don't think I'll need it. I'll send it to
you. I'll bring, you just need to wait one moment. It's our fault.
What's Jason's email?
Whilst that's happening, I'll keep going. Can we scroll up to page dot 0010?
We've just made sent it to
you. You see at the bottom of the page, Inspector Neville responds.
Yes.
And you see that he says, he calls you out, doesn't he, for not responding to his query?
Sorry, in which paragraph?
He says, however, the response does not address the main query posed.
Sure, yes.
And then over the page, he clarifies what he'd said about cherry picking.
Yes.
And then once again, he makes the point at the end of that paragraph, the sample selection may have had some impact, however, it could not explain the vast difference between less than 2% and 30% success rate.
Yes.
And he says, having said this, I do appreciate the work that you have done so far in reviewing the data set. I understand that this may not be a simple task.
Yes.
Because he thinks you've done some work reviewing the data set.
Yes, but we had put together the parameters that we needed.
But you hadn't done any work reviewing the data set by this stage, had you?
No.
And then if we go up the page to, now it's at the bottom of the top of dot 0009 is when your response to Inspector Neville on the 24th of February begins.
Okay.
And tell me, if you can, where in this email do you explain to him that the less than 2% is for NSID upload, whereas the 30% that he keeps talking about is about obtaining a profile?
I don't think it is in that email. I think it is in a subsequent email, because his previous email was about thresholds, which is what I took out of it, was about thresholds, where, and I think that's where I've discussed that in that email.
Isn't what happens this, Ms. Allen, you know throughout the course of these emails that Inspector Neville has not understood what the less than 2% refers to, and you never seek to correct his misunderstanding?
I guess that's the answer, yes, but I'm not sure.
And actually, you never do it. He rereads the paper and realises. Isn't that the case?
I don't recall the email.
Well, chain. If we go further up in the chain and dot 0007. You see, he sends a further email
on the 24th of February. And you see what's happened is he's reread the paper and he says in the second paragraph, I wondered if you can clarify my understanding of the paper. The success rate of less than 2% relates to the likelihood of the process resulting in a new link rather than the likelihood of obtaining a profile. The actual success rate of obtaining a profile is roughly 10% overall, according to figure one.
Yes.
And he says, I'll be honest, using the number of new links to measure the value of analysis is very problematic because the probative value of the evidence will vary hugely depending on the sample type and location.
He does say that, yes.
Now, it seems like he probably still hasn't quite understood that it's about NSID links rather than links in general. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
And do you regard it as a failure by you in your dealings with the QPS that you never expressly and directly explained to Inspector Neville at an earlier time his error?
I don't consider it a failing, but in hindsight, I can see that I could have done more with Inspector Neville rather than assuming that there had been a handover between Acting Inspector Ewan Taylor and Inspector Neville.
On my count, Ms. Allen, Inspector Neville stated on five different occasions his belief that the relevant figure in the options paper, which justified the new process, was that only 2% of samples tested within the range generate a usable process. So there were five occasions upon which you could have corrected his mistaken view, but you didn't take up any of them. Can you explain that? I don't think each of them can be explained on the basis of COVID or Christmas holidays, you see. So here's your opportunity to explain why you didn't do it.
I don't have an explanation.
One explanation is that you wanted him to continue in his mistaken view.
No, I don't believe that he is, because I don't lie to the QPS. So I don't believe that that is why I didn't respond with him. I do find exchanging information with Inspector Neville very difficult, because I think that he and I talk or email in different ways, and that I could have used more opportunities to ask my team leaders to review his emails because I wasn't getting it.
Mr. Operator, have you got the image that's been sent to you? Could you just bring that up on the right hand, or it doesn't matter, either side? Now, you see the image that you're looking at, that's an image from the diaries that you keep?
Notebooks, yes.
And you see about six lines down, it says QPS FSS meeting 1 February 2022.
Yes.
And this is the notes, or these are the notes that you made for the 1st of February meeting?
I may have made additional notes to that.
Where?
Within my notebook or another piece of paper, I don't remember.
Now, Ms. Allen, why, when you were taking notes in your notebook, would you take notes of the meeting and then stop during the meeting and start taking notes on a different piece of paper.
And they've started them on a different piece of paper in the beginning. I don't recall.
Ms. Allen. What I want to suggest to you is if we go back down to page 0011, when you said to Inspector Neville, I have detailed notes that I took during the meeting and I've referred to those for this email, that was a lie too, wasn't it?
No.
Even on the simplest thing of whether you had notes for a meeting, you were prepared to lie to Inspector Neville.
No.
You were...
I don't believe... From looking at those notes... They don't have as much information as I remember taking from that meeting.
Well, you see, it says QPS FSS meeting 0102-2022.
Yes, I understand that. And that's what I'm saying is that, yes, that's the meeting.
So you can see the next page. So you do keep making notes over the page.
Sorry, can you please go up the page again? Yes, okay, I'm sorry. I thought that it was only the top paragraph that was from that meeting, but it's not. It's that basically the whole page and then over the page.
Yes.
Yes.
But is there any part of that note, of those notes that relate to what you put in your email to Inspector Neville?
Which particular part?
Well, look at your email. You said, I advise that due to the community transmission of COVID-19 affecting DNA analysis staff members and the two urgent cases that the QPS requested we process, slow progress had been made on this request. At the meeting, you provided an assurance that you understood the situation. In the next paragraph, during the meeting, you advised that you were aware that the QPS had cherry-picked particular samples. In the next paragraph, the data that is required to be analysed is within the forensic register. Does any of that information appear in your notes?
Could you scroll down to the second page, please? Definitely about the slow progress on Quant and that IO's investigating officers were noticing that. And the other things were from memory by the discussion that we had around the slow progress, et cetera, where Inspector Neville was talking about, you know, cherry picking, which stuck in my mind about that.
Sorry, when it says slow progress on quant determined, IOs are noticing, what do you say that note's about?
That's where Inspector Neville was talking about the DNA insufficient gender item, was advising that investigating officers were noticing this, which is where we had then come to talk about the issues that had been happening within the lab.
Ms. Allen, I'll put it to you again. Even on the simplest thing, which in this case is claiming to have detailed notes that you've referred to for the purpose of an email that you just sent out, you were prepared to lie to the QPS about it.
I use the detailed notes to help my memory of all the things that we discussed.
And again, unfortunately, the explanation that you're now giving to the commissioner for the lie that you told to Inspector Neville earlier this year, this explanation is also a lie, isn't it?
No, it's not. I could have been more specific in my email to say that I'd relied on the detailed notes and my memory regarding the things that we had discussed, which is what I had used my notes to help me with that email.
So now, in about March of 2022, you started to, or Mr. Howes began preparing what became known as the update paper.
Yes.
And you didn't circulate a copy of the update paper to the other members of the management team, as we've talked about already?
Yes, that's right.
And at some stage, did you speak to Ms. Keller as to whether you should provide the update paper to police?
Yes.
And what did she tell you?
That's where she was discussing with me about, because I think by that stage there was likely to be a review of the laboratory processes, and she said that she was seeking legal advice about that.
About what?
About whether to provide the paper to QPS or whether that was going to be as part of the review.
And between the beginning of April then and the end of May, what happened in relation to the update paper?
I believe that Justin was still working on that.
And then at the end of May, do you recall that there was an email that Inspector Neville sent the day before QPS's submission to the task force was published, where he re-agitated the issue of what was going on with the DIFP results?
Yes, he sent me an email again about the 30%.
And he had a spreadsheet that was attached to it with data?
Yes, that's right.
And did you review the spreadsheet?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do about it?
I looked at the sexual assault barcodes and wanted to have a look for myself around whether there was new DNA profiles that had been obtained or whether they were similar to what had been obtained from other samples.
And then the day, did you do all of that on the day that Inspector Neville sent his email?
I'm sorry, I can't remember whether it was on that day or not. I'm sorry.
So then the following day, the task force submission of the QPS was published?
Okay, I don't remember the date, but okay.
And at that point, you must remember, I assume, that there was a significant amount of agitation at management levels above you?
Yes.
And Ms. Keller was summoned in to speak to the Minister and the Director General, or the Acting Director General?
I'm not sure that I was aware of that at the time, but I could have been. I just don't remember, because I do remember her going to see the Minister, to see the DG about something as well. So I could be getting those two confused.
Do you remember you were called into a meeting?
Yes.
And was that a meeting with the Minister and the Acting Director General?
Yes, it was.
And
you were asked some questions about the Blackburn case?
Yes, I was.
And at that meeting, you said something to the effect that you were 1,000% certain that all samples had been fully tested to the end in that case?
Yes, because that's the advice I've been provided.
By whom?
Staff members in the lab.
And I just want to pause on that to ask you about something. Can we bring up WIT.0014.0046.0001? And you see, this is a chain, well, this is a chain of emails where Ms. Brizzotto is emailing you on the evening of the 2nd of June, 2022.
Yes.
And so this is about 5 hours, or in any event, it's after the meeting that had occurred that same day with the minister and the acting director general.
Yes.
And this version 17 of the SOP, that wasn't the version that applied immediately before the 2018 decision had been brought into effect?
Sorry, could you say that again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so maybe I'll do it in a different way. You see that if you look in about halfway down the page, Ms. Brizzotto emails you and says she's found the version 16 SOP updated December 2012.
Yes.
And then if you scroll up, she says she's now found the version 17 SOP, which had effect from Feb 2013.
Yes.
And are you able to tell us why Ms. Brizzotto was finding information for you about the SOPs that were in effect as at the end of 2012 and the beginning of 2013?
I think I had asked her for that particular table that's in there. I was asking her around, you know, what sorts of processes had been undertaken, because I couldn't remember about the change of quant value and, you know, those sorts of things. And so that was the table I was trying to find at that point.
Yes, but why were you interested in knowing what the process had been as at the end of 2012 and the beginning of 2013?
Because I couldn't remember the changes that had happened from that, and that's what I was asking her for, to prompt my memory about that.
I understand. Perhaps I'll put it a different way. Was the reason you were interested in that particular time period because you were checking what SOP was in effect for the Blackburn case?
I don't know that it was that. I do know that the Blackburn case was tested in 2013. And when I was talking with the DG and the minister, I was unaware that additional samples had been delivered in 2019 and 2021, I think it was.
Now, can I then bring up a document which is WIT.0017.0228.0001? Oh, I'm sorry, just give me one moment.
Sorry, I need the email which she sent to the killer, sent to the acting director general. This is back.
What you'll see on the screen is an email that you sent on the 2nd of June to Ms. Keller.
Yes.
And you were providing her with the options paper and your draft update paper?
Yes.
And that was because they had been requested by the Minister and the Acting Director General?
I wasn't aware of that.
Okay. And then if we bring up WIT.0017.0228.0001. Oh. You're just giving me the same document. Do you remember, while the document that I'm looking for is coming, do you remember speaking to Ms. Keller about what the relevant percentage numbers were to provide to the Minister and the Acting Director General?
I don't have a recollection of a discussion about that.
Do you remember whether you directed Ms. Keller towards the NSID upload numbers?
I don't have any recollection of that.
Do you remember telling her that the relevant numbers that the police were concerned with were the percentage of usable profiles obtained?
I don't have any recollection of this discussion with her.
I'll show you another email. Can we bring up WIT.0017.0144.0001? You see, the email at the bottom is the email that we looked at a moment ago where you've sent an email to Ms. Keller with the attachments. And then if we scroll up to the top of the page, Ms. Keller then emails the Acting Director General and says, papers attached as discussed. And she identifies the 1.86% and the 5.3%.
Yes.
And did you tell her that those were the relevant percentages?
I don't have any recollection of discussing that with Ms. Keller.
Do you agree with me that by this time, that is by the beginning of June 2022, you could have been in no doubt whatsoever that the percentage that the police were concerned with was the percentage of usable profiles that were being lost?
Yes.
And do you think it's likely that you would have told Ms. Keller that the relevant percentages are the percentage of NSID uploads that are lost?
I don't remember discussing this or the follow-up paper with Lara. Sorry, that's what we called it. Sorry, it was follow-up paper. I think you called it update paper. I don't remember having any discussion with Lara about those two papers, the percentages. I have no recollection whatsoever of a discussion like that.
Can I show you another document? Can we bring up FSS.0001.0052.1255? You'll see this is a chain of emails, but if you look at the bottom email at the bottom of the page, it starts with an email from you.
Yes.
And you say in that email, attached is the Excel spreadsheet that I've been working on, reviewing whether the processing of a DNA insufficient gave a new DNA profile that hadn't been seen before?
Yes.
And you said, I haven't finished, but here's what I've got so far?
Yes.
Was this a spreadsheet that you'd been preparing?
So when Inspector Neville had emailed the spreadsheet, I think you said the day before the Women's Task Force report came out, that was the spreadsheet that I was using.
So I'm sorry, are you saying you took Inspector Neville's spreadsheet and were editing it?
Yes.
And can we bring this up? That's WIT.0017.0151.0001. So this was something where I suspect, Commissioner, you'll need to make a non-publication order over that spreadsheet because it's got details and case file numbers.
I direct that document WIT.0017.0151.0001, an Excel spreadsheet, not be published.
Yes, can we hide column A? Thank you. So, tell us what the editing process was by which you came up with this version of the spreadsheet.
Now I'm unsure. Perhaps I just copied the barcodes from the sexual assault tab from Inspector Neville's and created a new spreadsheet for myself. Maybe that's what I did. To be honest, you know, that's the only thing I can come up with because there is only one sheet on this, whereas my recollection is that there was more than one sheet on the spreadsheet that Inspector Neville had sent. So I think I'd started a new Excel spreadsheet.
Could we just scroll down a little? Do you agree with me that this is a spreadsheet in which none of the cases that are identified are things where the result was something new for the case?
From the ones I can see on the screen, yes.
Why were you preparing a spreadsheet or sending a spreadsheet to be passed on to the Director General, which only identified cases where nothing new was identified?
I didn't know that it was being passed on to the Director General. I let Lara know that I was looking into those because I wanted to see what had been generated out of that, and she asked me for it and I gave it to her. I did not know that it was being passed on to the Director General.
I'm struggling with that one. You'd attended a meeting with the Acting Director General and the Minister that afternoon.
About the Blackburn case, yes.
No, it wasn't about the Blackburn case or only about the Blackburn case. The day before, the QPS, the QPS's submission to the task force had been published, which was not about the Blackburn case. It was about the results that they thought they were missing out on due to the DIFP process.
And I had attended with Lara at what meeting? I'm sorry?
You attended on the next day after the submission was published, you attended a meeting with the Minister and the Director General, and you were called into the meeting, not for the whole meeting, but you were called in for part of it in order to answer some questions that Ms. Keller couldn't answer about the Blackburn case.
Yes, that's right.
You understood that the attention of the Health Department was not limited to the Blackburn case. They were trying to understand what's going on in relation to this submission that the QPS has just published.
I was only party to the small portion about the Blackburn case, and then I left the meeting. I wasn't in it for the whole time.
And then afterwards, after the meeting, Ms. Keller asked you for information.
Yes, she did.
And what did you think the information was for?
I didn't know what she was doing with it. She asked me for that information. She could have been drafting briefs. She could have been trying to, you know, understand this herself. She could have been liaising with her direct line manager regarding this. I didn't know where this was going. She just asked me for it. She's my line manager. I gave it to her.
So in any event, why were you providing your line manager with a spreadsheet that only identified cases where no new results had been produced as a result of further processing of DIFP samples?
Because I hadn't finished that particular spreadsheet. So Inspector Neville had supplied me with a spreadsheet that was broken down into samples that had gotten a profile from DIFP, and they were broken into sexual assault cases and something else. I can't remember. So I looked at the sexual assault barcodes and I put them into this spreadsheet, and that's where I started looking down, and I never got to finish the spreadsheet. That was as far as I had managed to do in the time that I had.
So
it wasn't that I was trying to put forward just ones that didn't have new DNA profiles. That was just as far as I had got.
And did you ask within the lab if anyone had some information that they could provide, any kind of data about where results had appeared from DIFP samples?
No, I didn't. I was just working on what Inspector Neville had provided me.
It's likely, isn't it, that at least by then, by the middle of this year, that you were aware of Ms. Ricker's spreadsheet?
Like I said, I can't tell you when I was aware of it. Maybe I was aware of it at this time. I honestly do not remember.
I have to put some propositions to you to finish for today. Isn't this what happened in relation to DIFP? That you set out at the beginning of 2018 to mislead the QPS into agreeing to discontinue the automatic processing of P2 samples in the DIFP range?
No, that's not true.
And then throughout the course of the next few years, as scientists within the lab would raise issues about it, you would dismiss those issues?
That's not true.
And when Inspector Neville and Acting Inspector Simpfendorfer wrote emails to you at the end of 2018 and then at the end of 2021 about these issues, you told lies to them about what was going on with the process and the data that had been presented to the QPS?
No, that's not true.
And at the end of 2021, you told a lie to Inspector Neville about further monitoring and a larger data set?
No, that's not true. I don't recall what that's about.
And then throughout December and January of December of 2021 and January of 2022, you did nothing to respond to Inspector Neville's request that as a matter of priority, the issue be reviewed?
As I said, I was engaged with other things which have affected my ability to think about Inspector Neville and the issue at hand.
And then it was only after repeated pressing from Inspector Neville and a media article from the Australian that you took a step towards obtaining data so that you could perform some form of analysis?
I requested the data before Inspector Neville had sent me that email about the media article.
But you requested the data after the media article had appeared.
Okay, I don't remember because those two things aren't linked for me.
And after the media article had been emailed to you by somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Okay, like I say, those two things aren't linked for me.
And you never corrected what you could see was Inspector Neville's misapprehension about the less than 2%, because it served your purposes for him to continue to misunderstand what the less than 2% meant?
I didn't correct Inspector Neville, but it wasn't to serve my own purposes, no.
And then by the beginning of June of 2022, when the QPS submission had been made public, you then had to tell a series of You at that point made a series of misrepresentations to people to try to conceal your responsibility for what had occurred over the course of the preceding 3.5 to 4 years.
No, that's not true.
And so you misdirected Ms. Keller by providing this spreadsheet that we've just looked at, which only referred to cases where it hadn't added any information.
I advised Ms. Keller what I was doing with that, and she asked me for that, and I provided it to her of where I was up to.
And you told Ms. Keller that the relevant figures were the 1.86% and the new figure of about 5.1%, even though you knew that that was plainly not the percentage numbers that the QPS were concerned about?
No, I told you I had no recollection of discussing that with her, and I would have a recollection if we did have a discussion.
And then you set about creating a recommendation for the Director General that contained false information as to what the pre-2018 process was, so as to impede the obtaining of results once a decision was made to change back to the pre-2018 process.
I made a human error, and when that was brought to my attention, I then corrected that and also asked if all of the samples that had been in that 6 weeks period to actually undergo microcon to remedy that situation.
And you did that because you were trying to conceal from the public the consequences of the misleading conduct that you'd engaged in at the beginning of 2018 to bring about this DIFP process.
No, that's not true. I did not have misleading behaviour. I was not trying to mislead the public. I was trying, in that June period, I was trying to rectify as best I could the human error that I had made and attempted to fix that with the samples.
And then in June of 2022, as scientists within your lab raised concerns with you about why it was that samples were going direct to amplification, you dismissed those concerns because it served your purposes.
That's not true.
And then when you've come to give evidence to the Commission throughout the course of yesterday afternoon and today, you have lied consistently and repeatedly about your conduct because you are unwilling to admit what it is that you have done.
That is not true, and I refute that.
Is that a convenient time, Commissioner?
Yes. We'll adjourn to 9:30 on Monday.
Thank you.
All rise.